بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. يسر إخوانكم في مكتبة السنة السلفية في مدينة جراند رابيدز في الولايات المتحدة الأمريكية أن يقدموا لكم هذه المادة العلمية، سائلين الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها، إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه.
With the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the Bestower of Mercy. The praise is for Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and salutations be upon the noblest of the prophets and messengers, and upon his family and all of his companions. It pleases your brothers at Sunnah Publishing in the city of Grand Rapids, Michigan, in the United States of America, to present to you this topic of knowledge. We ask Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, to bring about benefit through it. Indeed, He is the manager of that and the well capable of it.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Innal hamdalillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. ألا وإن أصدق الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار.
In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, Most Merciful. All praise is for Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance, and seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray, and whoever He leads astray, no one can guide. I bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. He is alone and has no partners, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave and messenger. Verily, the most truthful of speech is the speech of Allah, and the best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The most evil of affairs are those innovated in the religion. Every innovated matter is a going astray, and every going astray is in the fire. As to proceed.
هذه الكلمة التي أتدارس بها مع إخواننا طلاب العلم من بلاد شتى من البلاد الإسلامية هي كلمة توجيهية لنفسي أولا ثم لإخواني ثانيا، وبعد الكلمة إن شاء الله ستكون هناك مجموعة من الأسئلة. وهذه الكلمة ستكون بإذن الله عز وجل تتمة للكلمة التي بالأمس، وهي عبارة عن ما يجب على السلفي معرفته من قواعد السلف. ما يجب على السلفي معرفته من قواعد السلف.
This talk, which I will be going over with my brothers from the students of knowledge who are from different Islamic countries, is an instructional talk, firstly for myself and secondly for my brothers. And after this, inshallah, there will be a number of questions. As for this talk, with the permission of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, then it is the completion of what we started yesterday, which is titled, مَا يَجِبُ عَلَى السَّلَفِي مَعْرِفَتُهُ مِنْ قَوَاعِدِ السَّلَفِ. That which is obligatory for the Salafi to know from the principles of the Salaf.
فمن الأمور المهمة التي إن شاء الله تخرج السلفيين من كثير من المشاكل معرفة قاعدة مهمة ومعرفة أمر مهم، وهو الفرق بين التبديع وبين التحذير. الفرق بين التبديع وبين التحذير، ومتى يكون هذا ومتى يكون هذا. وهذه القاعدة معرفتها تخرج السلفيين من مشاكل، لأنك أحيانا حينما تحذر من شخص يقول تبدعه ثم يقيم عليك الدنيا ويختلف معك ويتضارب معك. فالعلماء رحمهم الله تعالى والسلف الصالح رضي الله عنهم وأرضاهم ومن سار على منهجهم إلى يومنا هذا يفرقون بين تبديع الشخص وبين التحذير منه.
So from the important matters which will inshallah rid the Salafis from many problems is to know an important matter in principle, and that is the difference between warning against an individual and declaring an individual an innovator, and when does each occur. This principle will rid the Salafis from many problems. This is because sometimes when you warn against a person, they say you declared him an innovator. Then everyone starts to stand and speak and differ with you and quarrel with you. The ulama, may Allah have mercy on them, and the Salaf al-Salih, may Allah be pleased with them, and those who tread their path to this day, differentiate between warning against a person and deeming them an innovator.
فالتبديع حكم عليه بوقوعه في البدعة. فالتبديع حكم عليه بوقوعه في البدعة ووجوب والحذر منه. أما التحذير فليس حكما عليه بالوقوع بالبدعة وإنما هو في مرحلة المخالفة مع النصح، بمعنى أنه خالف المنهج في مسائل قد تكون ملتبسة عليه، قد يكون أخطأ فيها وأصر على خطأه يعني في بدايات أمره، حينها يحذرون من هذا الشخص، انتبهوا فلان من الناس لا يلتف حوله ويحذر حتى يتوب ويرجع، حتى يتوب ويرجع، وحتى يعني نقف على فصل قول العلماء فيه. طيب، إيش القضية الخطيرة هنا؟ ما هي القضية الخطيرة هنا؟ القضية الخطيرة هنا من جهات.
As for تبديع, this is to rule on a person that he has fallen into bid'ah and the obligation of warning from him. As for tahdhir, this is not a ruling that a person has fallen into innovation. However, the person is in an opposing stage and is being given advice, meaning that he has opposed the manhaj in matters which he may be confused about or has been mistaken in, and has persisted on his mistake, and this is in the beginning stages when they are warning from this person. It may be said, be careful of being around so-and-so, and he is to be stayed away from until he repents and returns to the truth, and until we hear the detailed statements of the scholars concerning him. When is the dangerous matter here? The dangerous matter is from different aspects.
الجهة الأولى حصول الاختلاف بين الشباب السلفي في الولاء والبراء لهذا الشخص. فبعضهم يرى أنك بدعته وأنك يعني طعنت فيه، وبالتالي تحصل هناك الفرقة. هذه قضية خطيرة. القضية الثانية أنه بعض الشباب وهم الطرف الآخر يظنون أن هذا الشخص لا زال محطة ولا زال صالحا للاستفادة منه. لا، فإن هذا الشخص بهذه المخالفة في مرحلة التوقف عنه والبعد عنه حتى لا يؤثر، فإن تاب وترك ورجع إلى الحق يرجع إليه، وإن أصر حكم عليه العلماء بالتبديع ونحوه. واضح؟ فالمحذر منه يجتنب خاصة لطلاب العلم الذين لم ترسخ قدمهم في العلم. لماذا؟ لأنه في هذه المرحلة هذا المحذر منه بين أمرين، بين أن يرجع إلى الحق فجزاه الله خيرا، وبين أن يصر على باطله ولا يرجع. وفي هذه المرحلة يبث في قلوب وأفكار الشباب قواعد وأدلة متشابهة، ويؤصل فيهم تأصيلات تجعلهم لا يرون أنه مبتدأ ولا يرون أنه خرج من المنهج. فلو بدعه العلماء بعد ذلك ما يرضون، لأنه خلاص زرع في قلوبهم أن هذا الكلام لا يصدق عليه. طيب، نتركه؟ نقول نعم أتركه، ابتعد. السلامة يعني ما في خير منها، أن تسلم يسلم لك دينك. الحمد لله العلماء موجودون وطلاب العلم السلفيون الحمد لله متوافرون، فإن عدموا فالأشرطة والكتب السلفية موجودة،
الله ما علق الدين على شخص على شخصه، والدين والحق سائر بإذن الله ولا يعلق بالأشخاص. اعرف الحق تعرف أهله. واضح؟
The first is the difference that occurs between the Salafi youth and having al-wala wal-bara regarding this individual. Some see that you have declared him an innovator and spoke ill of him, and from there differing occurs. This is a dangerous matter. The second matter is that some youth, and they are the other side, they think that this person is still in place and still able to be benefited from. No, for verily this person, with the opposition he has, is in a stage where we stop and stay away from him, so no one can be affected by him. If he repents and leaves what he's upon and returns to the truth, we return to him. And if he persists upon falsehood, the ulama rule upon him to be an innovator or the likes. So the person who has been warned against is to be stayed away from, especially from the students of knowledge whom feet have not been grounded in knowledge. Why? This is because in this stage, the person being warned against is between one of two things. The first, that he returns to the truth, and if he does, may Allah reward him. And the second, that he persists upon his falsehood and does not return. Also during this stage, he sends into the hearts and minds of the youth unclear proofs and principles, and he roots into them foundations that make them think that he isn't an innovator, and they see him not to have left the manhaj. Due to this, if the ulama declare him an innovator after that, they won't be pleased because he already planted in their heart that which is being said of him is not true. Okay, do they leave him? We say yes, leave him and stay away. There's nothing better than being safe and sound, and that your religion is safe. Alhamdulillah, the ulama are present, and the Salafi students of knowledge are widespread. If they cannot be found, then the Salafi tapes and books are around. Allah didn't attach the religion to a specific person, and the religion and truth is ongoing, alhamdulillah, and it is not related to personalities. Know the truth, and you will know its people.
فهذه قاعدة خطيرة جدا يجب التنبه لها. يجب التنبه لها. بعضهم تأتي تقول فلان من الناس عنده وعنده وعنده، يقول لك لسه العلماء ما بدعوه. طب إذا ما بدعوه معناه هو في مرحلة إما استجابة للحق وإما رفضه، وأنت قد تغتر به وتقع في حبائله، فبالتالي الواجب عليك شرعا أن تبتعد عنه وأن تنتظر قول العلماء فيه، هل يصلح أن يرجع إليه ويستفاد منه أم يترك. واضح الآن كيف هذه القاعدة؟ طيب.
So this is a serious principle you have to be aware of. Some people come and say such and such person has fallen to this and that. Others say the ulama have not yet declared him an innovator. Okay, if they have not declared him an innovator, this means he is in a stage that either he will accept the truth or either deny it. And you may become deceived by him and fall into his plot. So therefore, Islamically, it is upon you to stay away from him and wait and see what the ulama says about him. Is he okay to be returned to and benefited from or be left? Is this principle clear now?
أيضا الواجب في هذه القاعدة كما سبق بالأمس عدم التعصب وعدم تعليق الحق بالشخص. إيش الحلبي؟ إيش الحلبي؟ قرآن؟ سنة؟ سلف صالح؟ ولا شيء. إن اهتدى فلنفسه وإن ضل فعليها، والحق ثابت. أما أن تعلق الحق بالحلبي، إن قاله قلته وإن رفضه رفضته، دون أن يكون مرجعك القرآن والسنة، فهذا ضلال ضلال. كيف والحلبي الآن مثلا كما تعلمون على سبيل المثال وقع في مسألة وحدة الأديان، وأن الإسلام الوسط الذي جاء به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هو الذي يجمع الناس على مبدأ الإنسانية وعدم التمييز والتفريق، وهذا الإلحاد والكفر بذاته. ومع هذا القول الباطل الذي وقع فيه الحلبي، إلا أنك تجد بعض أو كثير أو كل من يتبعه من أحبابه يدافعون عنه. وهذا يؤكد لكم ما سبق أن طالب العلم المحذر منه، فالحلبي ليس بعالم، طالب العلم المحذر منه ينبغي أن يجتنب حتى لا يفتتن بفتنته.
Also it is incumbent in this principle just as it has preceded yesterday, and it is not to be overzealous and not to attach the truth to personalities. What is حلبي? I see Quran, Sunnah, the Salaf al-Salih, he is none of that. If he is guided, then this is for his own benefit. And if he goes astray, then that's on him. Because the truth is fixed and doesn't move. As for you attaching the truth to just Halabi, if he says something, you say it, and if he refuses, you refuse, and you don't make your source of return the Quran and Sunnah, this is misguidance. How is this, and then Halabi, for example, just like you all know, fell into the error of interfaith services, calling for all religions to be one, and saying that the middle course Islam, which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has came with, is that which gathers the people on the foundation that they are all human beings, and not to differ between them or split them. This is the epitome of heresy and disbelief. Even though there is this false statement which Halabi fell into, you still find some, or many, or all who follow him from amongst those who love him and they defend him. This confirms for you all what has preceded, that the student of knowledge that has been warned from, and Halabi is not a scholar, the student of knowledge that has been warned from has to be stayed away from, so one won't fall prey to his fitin.
ولذلك الشيخ النجمي رحمه الله تعالى ماذا قال؟ قال هؤلاء أهل الشام يدافعون عن أهل البدع ومثلهم لا يؤخذ منه العلم يعني يتوقف فيه تنتظر إما أن يتوب إلى الحق وإما أن تتركه لا تعلق دينك ولا تعلق الحق الذي تتبعه بأشخاص.
Due to this, Sheikh al-Najmi rahimahullah, what did he say? He said, these individuals from Sham are defending the people of innovation and the knowledge isn't taken from the likes of these people. What he means is that you wait and stop regarding these individuals. They either will return to the truth or you leave them. Do not attach your religion and do not attach the truth that you follow to personalities.
ولذلك قول ابن مسعود أيضا هذه قاعدة مع نفس القاعدة هذه. من كان مستنا مقتديا مهتديا فليستن بمن قد مات ممن لم يفتن وهم الصحابة رضوان الله عليهم فإن الحي لا تؤمن عليه الفتنة فإن الحي لا تؤمن عليه الفتنة وهذه قاعدة قالها ابن مسعود وقالها ابن عمر رضي الله عنهم أجمعين فين السلف أين السلفيون عنها بعضهم في بعد عنها بعضهم معلق الاقتداء بفلان إن اهتدى اهتدوا وإن ضل ضلوا وهذا خطأ وأنت آثم أنت بهذا آثم ومسؤول عند الله عز وجل فإن الله عز وجل جعل للحق أهلا وأمارات وعلامات وجعل للباطل أهلا وعلامات وأمارات فأمرك باتباع سبيل الحق ونهاك عن اتباع سبيل سبل الباطل وأن هذا صراطي مستقيما فاتبعوه ولا تتبعوا السبل فتفرق بكم عن سبيله وهذا وصايا من الله عز وجل كما هو معلوم القاعدة الثانية وهي معلومة ولكن لابد من تكرارها والتذكير بها لأننا نجد كثيرا من الشباب السلفي لا يطبقها ولا يفهمها أو يفهمها ويتغافل عنها فنذكر فإن الذكرى تنفع المؤمنين القاعدة الثانية أن الطعن في أهل السنة طعن في السنة التي يحملونها وأن من طعن في أهل السنة فهو مبتدع ضال من طعن في أهل السنة قاصدا متعمدا فهو مبتدع ضال وهذه القاعدة معلومة عندنا ومقررة ولكن تطبيقها يقع فيه الخلل عند كثير من الشباب.
Also because of this we have the statement of Ibn Mas'ud may Allah be pleased with him. This principle is with the same principle we are speaking of. He said whoever is following or taking someone as an example let him follow those who have already died from those who haven't been trialed with tribulations, which are the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum. Ibn Mas'ud said, for verily, you can't be sure one who is living won't go through any trials. This is a principle that was said by Ibn Mas'ud and also Ibn Umar, radiallahu anhum. So where are the Salafis in applying this statement? Some of them are far from it. Some of them attach guidance to a particular person. If he is guided, they are guided. And if he goes astray, they go astray. This is an error. And by this, you are sinning and responsible before Allah the Mighty and Majestic. For verily, Allah made for truth people and signs, just as he made for falsehood people and signs. And he commanded you to follow the true path, and forbade you to follow the path of falsehood.
وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَن سَبِيلِهِ.
And say, this is my straight path, so follow it. And do not follow the other path, for verily it will separate you from his path. This is a counsel and advice from Allah, just as it is known. The second principle, it is something well known, but it has to be repeated and reminded of, because we find many of the Salafi youth do not apply it or understand it and fall unaware of it. So we want to remind.
وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ.
And remind, for verily the reminder benefits the believers. The second principle is that speaking ill of the people of Sunnah is in reality speaking ill of the Sunnah which they carry. And those who speak ill of the people of Sunnah are misguided innovators. Whoever speaks ill of the people of Sunnah intentionally is a misguided innovator. This principle is well known and established amongst us. However, it has some deficiency in its application amongst many of the youth.
فَكَمْ مِنْ شَابٍ نَجِدُهُ يَسْمَعْ مَنْ يَطْعَنُ فِي بَعْضُ الْعُلَمَاءِ السَّلَفِيِّينَ مِنْ أَمْثَالِ الشَّيْخِ أَحْمَدِ النَّجْمِي أو الشيخ محمد أمان الجامي أو الشيخ زيد المدخلي أو الشيخ ربيع المدخلي في بعض العلماء السلفيين يسمع الطعن ولا يحرك ساكنا وقد يكون الطعن مبطنا غير ظاهر واضح فلا يحرك ساكنا بل قد يردد هذه الطعونات مع أنه يعلم أن الطعن في علماء السنة طعن في السنة وأن من طعن في أهل السنة متعمدا قاصدا فهو مبتدع.
How many of the youth hear those who speak ill of some of the Salafi scholars, from the likes of Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi, or Sheikh Muhammad Amman al-Jami, or Sheikh Zayd al-Madkhali, or Sheikh Rabi' al-Madkhali? They hear these attacks and they remain quiet and do not say anything. Likewise, these attacks may be in secret and not apparent, and he remains quiet and doesn't do anything. Rather, he may also start to mention these things, although he knows that speaking ill of the scholars of the Sunnah is speaking ill of the Sunnah itself. And whoever speaks ill of the people of Sunnah intentionally, they are a misguided innovator.
طيب هل هذا لما قال أهل العلم إن الطعن في بعض أهل السنة أو في من حمل السنة ودافع عنها الطعن فيه طعن في السنة وابتداع هل هذا تعصب؟ الجواب لا. لأننا مثلا الشيخ ربيع المدخلي لما نتكلم أو نطعن في من يطعن فيه هل طعنا في الشيخ ربيع هل يعني طعنا في من طعن في الشيخ ربيع المدخلي لأجل عيون الشيخ ربيع المدخلي أو لأجل نسب الشيخ ربيع المدخلي أو لأجل مصلحة مالية وإلا الشيخ ربيع المدخلي كما هو معلوم رجل حمل السنة ودافع عنها ورد على أهل البدعة ووقف في حلوقهم شجن جزاه الله خيرا نحسبه كذلك ولا نزكي على الله أحدا فمن الواجب علينا له أن ندافع عنه وأن نحبه وأن نذب عنه لذبه وحبه ودفاعه عن السنة فموطن الطعن في من طعن في أمثال هؤلاء العلماء السلفيين هو هذا لا التعصب لشخصه وإلا فأنتم تعلمون أن الحلبي نأخذ مثال الحلبي كان الشباب يعظمونه السلفيون ويحترمونه فلما وقع في الضلالات وفي البدع وفي أوحالهما السلفيون الصادقون تركوه ونابذوه وردوا عليه وبينوا ضلالاته طيب لما أحبوه موقف ولما أبغضوه موقف ما السبب؟ الحب في الله والبغض في الله وهذه قاعدة في الهجر.
Okay, when the scholars mentioned that speaking ill of some of the people of Sunnah or those who carry the Sunnah and defend it, it is in reality attacking the Sunnah itself and also its innovation. Is this considered being overzealous? The answer is no. Because, for example, Sheikh Rabi' al-Madkhali, when we speak ill of those who speak ill of him, do we speak ill of those who speak ill of Sheikh Rabi' just due to the eyes of Sheikh Rabi' al-Madkhali, or due to the lineage of Sheikh Rabi' al-Madkhali, or due to a financial benefit? No. It's just that Sheikh Rabi' al-Madkhali, as it is known, as a person who is a carrier of the Sunnah and defends it and refutes the people of innovation and stood as a thorn in their throat. May Allah reward him. This is what we deem him, and we do not praise anyone above Allah. So what is incumbent upon us is that we defend him and love him due to his defense and love for the Sunnah. So the reason why those who speak against the likes of these Salafis is the aforementioned matter. Not just due to him being who he is. And you all know that Halabi, let's take an example. The Salafi youth used to magnify him and respect him. However, when he fell into misguidance and innovations and all of its dirt, the true Salafis left him and tossed him to the side, refuted him and clarified his misguidance. Okay, when they loved him, they had a position. And when they had to hate him, they had another position. What is the reason? Because we love for Allah and hate for Allah. And this is a principle in boycotting.
بعض الناس يقول الولاء والبراء لا دخل له في الهجر وهذا جهل وضلال فإن الهجر للمبتدع سببه الحب لله والبغض في الله فأنت تبغضه لله عز وجل كما أننا نحب السلفيين والمشايخ السلفيين لله لا لذواتهم واضح؟ فينبغي أن يتنبه لهذا.
Some people say الولاء والبراء doesn't have anything to do with boycotting. This statement is ignorance and misguidance. For verily the reason of boycotting the innovator is loving and hating for the sake of Allah. So you hate him for Allah the Mighty and Majestic, just as we love the Salafis and Salafi scholars for Allah, not for them just being them. So it is incumbent to pay attention to this.
من الطعونات مثلا في الشيخ ربيع وغيره من المشايخ السلفيين رميهم بالتشدد أو رميهم بعدم التعقل أو رميهم أنهم جراحون ودكتاتوريون أو رميهم بأنهم مثلا أهل إقصاء أو مثلا عندهم شدة أو عندهم شدة فمثل هذه الطعونات طعن في أهل السنة فنحن وأنتم تعلمون أن بعض الناس في المدينة وفي غيرها يصف الشيخ ربيع بأنه متشدد غير متعقل ويصف بعض المشايخ بأنهم متعقلون وهذه قاعدة حق أريد بها باطل فإن العلماء قسموا من تكلم في الجرح والتعديل ثلاثة أقسام متساهلون متوسطون متشددون خلاص طيب ما هو الضابط في المتوسطين
Then we'll give an example. From the attacks on Sheikh Rabi' and other than him, from the Salafi scholars, they attack them by saying they're harsh, or saying they don't comprehend, and that they just criticize and they are dictators, or say that they're from the people of harshness and they have harshness. So these type of attacks are attacking the people of Sunnah. So we and you both know that there are some people in Al-Madina and elsewhere who also describe Sheikh Rabi' that he is harsh, or that he is not rational or wise or balanced. And they describe other scholars that they are rational or are wise and balanced. This principle is true, but that which is intended behind it is false. For verily the scholars categorize those who speak about Jahl al-Ta'deed into three categories. Those who are easygoing, those who are in the middle, and those who are harsh. What is the exact meaning of those who are in the middle?
هو أن يكون سبب الجرح والتعديل معتبر شرعا وأن يكون بحق وبدليل وبإقامة البرهان على ذلك وبذكر العلة وأن يكون التعديل والجرح مثلهما معتبر أما التساهل فهو أن يوثق المجهولين أو المجروحين أو نحو ذلك هذا تساهل وتمييع للحق وأما التشدد هو أن يجرح بغير سبب جارح مثله هو أن يجرح بغير سبب جارح مثله هذا هو التشدد جزاك الله خير طيب نجي نطبق على المشايخ السلفيين المعروفين، وعندنا أبرز واحد في هذا يتكلم فيه ويطعن فيه ومقصود بالطعن، الشيخ ربيع معروف، الحلبي، المأربي، عرعور، المغراوي، الرحيلي، فلان، كلهم يدورون يبغوا يجوا على الشيخ ربيع ويطعنوا فيه ويبغوا يسقطونه، تبعا لجمعية إحياء التراث وغيرها. خلاص طيب نجي نشوف الشيخ ربيع، وهذا إجابة على سؤال ورد، هل يوصف الشيخ ربيع بالتشدد؟ فأقول نجي ننظر للشيخ ربيع. أولا الشيخ ربيع لما يأتي يجرح أحد يجرحه بذكر السبب، فأنت يا مغراوي ويا مأربي ويا عرعور جرحك الشيخ ربيع بكلامك وصوتك وكتاباتك، وذكر قلت كذا وفعلت كذا وأمرك كذا إلى آخره. فهل جاء قال المأربي مجروح ليش الشيخ ربيع قال رأيته يحك رأسه؟ لا، بيّن لك الحجة. المأربي يقول بأن الإخوان المسلمين ويعني الفرق الضالة تدخل في أهل السنة، وأن مصطلح السلفية أفيح واسع ودخل في ديمقراطية ودخل في أمور كثيرة من الضلالات كما هو معروف، ويصف علماء السنة بأنهم يعني قواطي وعلب يعني طماطم وأشياء مثل هذا. هذا الحزبيون ما وصفوا أهل السنة بهذا، هذا المأربي يصف بهذا، يصف أهل السنة بهذا. فجاء الشيخ ربيع بالحجة والبرهان وبيّن، إذن كلامه عليه دليل.
It is that the reason of the جهل والتعديل be an Islamically legislated reason and that it be with truth and proofs and evidences on that issue and mentioning the reason why and that the جهل والتعديل alike be something which is considerable. As for those who are easygoing, it is that they deem those who are unknown or criticized to be trustworthy or the likes of this. This is negligence and watering down the truth. As for those who are harsh, it is that they criticize without a valid reason. This is harshness. Now, let's come and apply these principles amongst the well-known Salafi scholars. And we have the most outstanding one in this regard. He is spoken ill of and attacked and is intentionally spoken against, and that is Sheikh Rabir. This is known. Halabi, Ma'ribi, Ar'ur, Al-Maghrawi, Al-Ruhayli, so-and-so. They all go around wanting to attack and speak ill of Sheikh Rabir. They want to see his downfall, following in the footsteps of the group Ihya' Turath and other than them. Let's come and look at Sheikh Rabir. And this is an answer to a question that came up. And it is Sheikh Rabir referred to as being harsh? Let's look at Sheikh Rabir. Firstly, when Sheikh Rabir goes and criticizes someone, he criticizes them along with mentioning the reason. So you, O Maghrawi, and Ma'ribi, and Ar'ur, Sheikh Rabir criticized you with your own speech, and voice, and books. And he mentioned, you said this, and you did this, and your affairs this, etc. So did he, Sheikh Rabir, come and say, Ma'ribi is disparaged or criticized, and then we ask, why, Sheikh Rabir? Because I saw him scratch his head. No. Rather, he clarified to you the evidence that Ma'ribi says that the Ikhwan al-Muslimin and the misguided groups are amongst Ahl al-Sunnah, and that the terminology Salafiyya is something spacious, and he entered into democracy and many other misguided matters, which is well known. Also, he describes the ulama of the Sunnah that they are a case of tomatoes and things like that. Even the Hizbis didn't attribute this to Ahl al-Sunnah. And this is Ma'ribi attributing this to Ahl al-Sunnah. Then Sheikh Rabir came with proofs and evidences and clarified. Therefore, their speech is based on proofs.
ثانيا ما موقف علماء السنة من ردود الشيخ ربيع؟ أثنوا عليه وقالوا هو رجل مجاهد ولا يجرح أحد إلا مبينا للسبب ويتثبت في جرحه ولا يجرح إلا بعد أن يظهر له الحق ويناصح قبل الرد والجرح وهو رجل علم في الجرح والتعديل كما وصفه الألباني. إذن هذا الثاني.
Secondly, what is the position of the Salafi scholars regarding the refutations of Sheikh Rabir? The answer is, they have praised them and said this man is a mujahid and he doesn't criticize anyone except with explaining the reasons, and he verifies that which was said about the that individual, and he doesn't criticize except the truth has become apparent to him, and he advises before he disparages and refutes, and he is also a signpost in the science of Jafu Ta'deen, just as Sheikh Al-Albani described him. So this is the second thing.
الثالث هل من جرحهم الشيخ ربيع تفرد بجرحهم أم وافقه عليه العلماء؟ ائتيني برجل جرحه الشيخ ربيع وما وافقوا عليه أحد، ما تجد. إذن الشيخ ربيع لم يتفرد بالجرح، واضح؟ طيب، بل من خالف الشيخ من العلماء حينا من الزمن بعد فترة يرجع إلى قوله، وأظهر على ذلك أظهر شيء على ذلك الألباني، فإنه في بعض من طعن فيهم الشيخ ربيع قال يبدو أن علماء المدينة، يقصد الشيخ ربيع محمد بن هادي المدخلي والشيخ محمد أمان الجامي، ويدخل فيهم الشيخ النجمي والشيخ زيد، لأنهم هم الذين كانوا متصدرين في الردود على أهل الباطل، يبدو أن أهل المدينة معهم حق في من ردوا عليهم، مع أنه كان في البداية يرى أن كان هناك نوع من التشدد. وهذا الألباني يقال فيه ما مر معنا من قاعدة بالأمس، وهي أن علماء السنة إذا دافعوا عن أهل البدعة فمحمله أنهم لم يطلعوا على حالهم، فإن اطلعوا على حالهم بيّنوا. فوافق الشيخ الألباني الشيخ ربيع فيما بيّن، واضح؟
Thirdly, is the Sheikh alone regarding those whom he disparages and criticizes, or do the scholars agree with him? Come to me with one person whom the Sheikh has criticized, and not one person agreed with him. You won't find that. Therefore, the Sheikh is not alone in his criticizing. Rather, those scholars who have opposed the Sheikh, after some time, you find them returning to the Sheikh's opinion. And the most apparent and well-known example here is with Sheikh Al-Albani. For indeed, some of those who Sheikh Rabi' criticized, he, meaning Sheikh Al-Albani, said regarding that, it is apparent that the scholars of Al-Madinah, and those whom he meant, meaning Sheikh Al-Albani meant, were Sheikh Rabi' and Muhammad bin Ibn Hadi and Muhammad Aman al-Jami, and also included amongst them was Sheikh Al-Najmi and Sheikh Zayd, because they were all the ones setting out and refuting the people of falsehood. Sheikh Al-Albani said, it appears that the scholars of Al-Madinah is upon the truth regarding those whom they have refuted. Although he, meaning Sheikh Al-Albani, saw that in the beginning there was some harshness. And here with Al-Albani, it is said, the principle that we heard yesterday, and it is that if the scholars of the Sunnah defend the people of innovation, the excuse is given that they don't know their actual state of falsehood. And if they did know their actual state, they would have clarified it. Therefore, Sheikh Al-Albani agreed with Sheikh Rabi' in those things that he clarified.
رابعا هذه الآن كم أمر نحن بينا؟ ثلاثة. رابعا كم عدد الذين جرحهم الشيخ ربيع؟ خمسة، عشرة، عشرين؟ أنا ما أظن يتجاوزون العشرين، ما أظن. طيب انظروا لعلماء السلف، بالمئات بل بالآلاف جرحوا، فتأتي للشيخ ربيع الذي لم يتكلم إلا في أشخاص معدودين في مدة من الزمان. الآن نسأل الله عز وجل أن يطيل في عمره في طاعته، وأن يبارك فيه، وأن يرزقه الصحة والعافية، ويجعله شجم في حلوق أهل البدع. جاوز الثمانين حفظه الله تعالى، في ثمانين سنة ما جرح إلا ما يقارب العشرين نفر، قل مئة نفر، قل مئة نفر، هل جرح ناس كثير؟ ما جرح ناس كثير، واضح؟ أيضا من أصاب فيهم الحق بجرحه، فإننا لا نعلم أن الشيخ حفظه الله تعالى بدع رجل أو رد عليه، ولا نعلم أنه يعني أن منهم من هو كان الشيخ في رده عليه مخطئا، ما نعلم هذا. ولو وقع فإنه معلوم من حال الشيخ أنه يعتذر ويرجع، ولو وقع. فالشيخ ربيع حفظه الله تعالى معروف برجوعه إلى الحق.
Fourthly, how many people has Sheikh Rabi' actually criticized? 5, 10, 20? I don't think it goes beyond 20. Look at the scholars of the Salaf. They've criticized hundreds, rather thousands of people. So you come to Sheikh Rabi', who hasn't spoken except against a few individuals over a period of time now. And we ask Allah to give the Sheikh long life upon obedience and to bless him in that and to bestow upon him good health and well-being and make him a thorn in the throat of the people of innovation. The Sheikh, may Allah preserve him, has passed 80 years old. In 80 years, the Sheikh hasn't criticized except around 20 people. And if you say 100, even if you say 100, did he criticize a lot of people? No, he didn't criticize a lot of people. Likewise, regarding those who the Sheikh was correct when criticizing, for verily we do not know that the Sheikh, may Allah preserve him, declared a person an innovator or refuted him, and the Sheikh was in error in doing so. We don't know this from the Sheikh. However, if it happened, it is known from the character of the Sheikh that he will apologize and return what he said. So if it happened, Sheikh Rabi' is known for him returning to that which is correct if he falls into error.
فالمقصود من هذا الانتباه لمثل هذا الانتباه. طيب لماذا يقولون الشيخ ربيع متشدد حتى إذا بين حالهم وتكلم فيهم يقول أتباعه وطلابه هذا من التشدد؟ والله شيخنا فلان رجل طيب، لكن الشيخ ربيع سلفي لكنه تشدد. يا أخي اتق الله، الشيخ متوسط من المعتدلين المتوسطين، واضح؟ طيب، فإذا ينبغي الانتباه لمثل هذا الأمر. النقطة التي تليها أو القاعدة التي تليها، التفريق في رد العالم على الباطل من باب رد الباطل وبين كونه يرد عليه حسدا أو رد أقران، حسدا أو رد أقران أو ظلما. بعض الناس، طيب قبل بعض الناس، الأصل أن العالم إذا رد وبين الحجة في رده المعتبرة فإننا نقبل قوله. يرد حسدا، يرد يعني ظلما، هذه نيات الله أعلم بها، خلاص. فإننا إذا كان العالم رد الباطل برد معتبر قبله العلماء فهو مقبول في الظاهر لنا.
So that which is intended from this is to be aware of this. Be aware. Why do they say Sheikh Rabi' is harsh? Up until the point, if you clarify their condition and speaks against them, the one who is being criticized, his followers say this is being harsh. Our Sheikh so-and-so is a good person, and Sheikh Rabi' is Salafi, but he has harshness. Brother, you should fear Allah. The Sheikh is of middle course and is just, so one has to pay attention to this point. The next point or principle, differentiating between the scholar's refutation of falsehood and tending by that refutation of that falsehood, and between him refuting him due to jealousy or because they were contemporaries or out of oppression. The origin is that if a scholar refutes and clarifies with evidence and his reputation that we accept his statement, that he refutes out of jealousy or oppression, these are inner intentions that only Allah knows. So our position, if a scholar refutes falsehood with an acknowledgeable refutation and the scholars have accepted it, then it is accepted from that which appears to us.
متى يقال أن الرد هذا من باب الحسد أو من باب الأقران أو الظلم؟ أما الرد من باب الظلم فهو أن يرد بلا سبب ويتكلم عليه بلا سبب، فهذا لا شك أنه ظلم. طب أنت الآن تطعن فيه وتحذر منه، ليش؟ كذا مو عاجبني. مو عاجبك، الله ما جعل الشرع على عقلك، هذا ظلم. اتق الله في نفسك، فإن أعراض الناس إن لم تقم الحجة والبرهان على الطعن فيها فهي مسمومة ومسؤول أنت عنها، فما بالك بالعلماء وما بالك بطلاب العلم المعتبرين، واضح؟ مثل يأتينا شخص يحذر من الشيخ عبد الله البخاري، ليش تحذر منه؟ ما السبب؟ ما عنده سبب، هذا ظلم. الشيخ البخاري معروف، مشايخ السلفيون الذين تلقى عنهم العلم معروفون، ثناء العلماء عليه معروفون، ثناء العلماء عليه معروف، تصنيفاته، محاضراته، دروسه، دعوته إلى المنهج السلف الحق واضح بين، ما نعلم عليه مخالفة للحق، فالطعن فيه ظلم، واضح؟ بعض الناس يحذر من هؤلاء السلفيين. طيب، وأما الرد عليه حسدا فيظهر بتكلف أسباب الجرح، ما في جرح وإنما يتكلف، فهذا هنا يعني يرد العلماء مثل هذا الجرح ويقولون اتق الله لعلك في نفسك شيء عليه. لاحظوا أنهم بيّنوا أنه وقع في الحسد أو الظلم بحجة. بعض الشباب تقول الشيخ ربيع الشيخ فلان حذر من الشيخ الفلاني يقول حسدا، من غير ما سمع إيش الكلام وما هي الحجة ولا سمع كلام الشيخ، هذا خطأ خطأ.
When is it said that a particular reputation is done out of jealousy or because they are contemporaries or out of oppression? The answer is that the reputation done out of oppression is that a person refutes without a reason and speaks about a person without a reason. So no doubt this is oppression. Okay. For example, a person speaks ill about a person and warns from him. You ask why. They say, just because. Or I'm not feeling him. You're not feeling him. Allah didn't make things evil just based on your intellect. This is oppression. Fear Allah within yourself. Because when it comes to the people's honor, if you don't have proofs and evidences that warrant speaking about them, then their honor is poison. You can't go near it. And you will be responsible for that. So how about the honor of the scholars? What about the strong students of knowledge? For example, a person comes to us warning from Sheikh Abdullah al-Bukhari. Why are you warning from him? What's the reason? He doesn't have a reason. This is oppression. Sheikh al-Bukhari is well known. The Salafi scholars whom he has sought knowledge with from are well known. The Salafi scholars whom he has sought knowledge from are well known. The praise of the scholars for him are well known. His books and lectures and classes and his da'wah to the true Salafi manhaj is clear. We don't know that he has any opposition to the truth, so speaking ill of him is oppression, and some people warn from Salafis like this. As for if a person is refuted due to jealousy and envy, this becomes clear when the refuter goes overboard in the reasons of criticism. In reality, there's no criticism. However, a person is just merely speaking. In this case, the scholars reject this type of criticism and say, it appears that you have something against this person. Notice that they clarified that he fell into envy or oppression with proof. Some of the youth, when you say to them, Sheikh Rabir or Sheikh so-and-so warned from such and such sheikh, they say to you, this is only envy, without even hearing what was said and what the proofs are, and they didn't hear the sheikh's words. This is an error.
أولا إن كنت عاميا فالواجب عليك الرجوع للعلماء الكبار، وإن كنت طالب علم فالواجب عليك طلب الحجة لا الرد ابتداء. واضح؟ طيب الثالث الأقران، الأقران أن يكونا متقاربين سنا وعلما، زائدا أن يكون العالم في رده، أن يكون العالم فتن هذه، أن يكون العالم، أن يكون العالم في رده غير موضح للسبب، مجرد أن يرد كذا. فهنا يقولون أقران، شوفوا، لتقاربهما سنا وعلما زائدا عدم الحجة في الرد. واضح؟ أما تأتيني الشيخ النجمي رحمة الله عليه في الثمانينات وتأتيني بالحلبي ومشهور وأهل الأردن تقول رد أقران، هذا كلام ما يعقل، كلام إنسان يرد الحق ولا يريده. أين القرنية بين هذا وهذا؟ كلام الأقران هو الذي يكون بين المتقاربين. واضح؟ طيب لو رد عالم كبير على طالب علم صغير بالباطل، ماذا يسمى؟ هل يسمى يعني رد أقران أو كذا؟ نقول يوصف بالظلم ونحوه، لكن ما يقال أقران. هذا انتبه، جاءني أو اتصل علي واحد، ما رأيك في الخلاف الحاصل بين علماء الأردن وعلماء المملكة؟ فقلت له يا أخي اتق الله، أهل الأردن لا يوصف بأنهم علماء، إنما يوصف بأنهم طلاب علم. أما علماء المملكة من أمثال الشيخ ربيع والنجمي الشيخ زيد وغيرهم يوصف علماء لسنهم وعلمهم ورسوخهم في العلم. أما تأتي بطلاب علم وتصفهم بالعلماء وتقارن بينهما هذا ظلم. ناهيك أن هؤلاء وقعوا في أمور تخالف المنهج السلفي، فحتى لو كانوا علماء كبار لا يعتبروا أمام هؤلاء العلماء علماء. واضح؟ فينبغي التنبه لهذا الأمر.
First of all, if you are from the common folk, what is upon you is to return to the major scholars. And if you are a student of knowledge, it is upon you to ask for the proofs and not to reject from the beginning. Is that clear? Okay. The third is the situation with being contemporaries, meaning they are close in age and in knowledge. On top of this, the scholar did not clarify his reason for refutation. He's just merely refuting. Here they say, they are contemporaries. Look at their closeness in age and knowledge. In addition, that there is no proofs along with the refutation. However, that you come to me with Sheikh An-Najmi, may Allah have mercy on him, who was in his 80s. Then you come with Al-Halabi and Mashhur and the Jordanian scholars, and you say that their peers are contemporaries? This statement is false. He rejects the truth and doesn't want it. Where does being contemporaries come and play with these two? When we talk about contemporaries, this is that which occurs between those who are close in age and in knowledge. Is this clear? Okay. If a major scholar refutes a small student wrongfully, what is this called? Is this called the refutation that occurs between contemporaries? No. This is called oppression and the likes. But you don't say this is due to being contemporaries. So pay attention to this. Someone called me and said, what's your opinion in regards to the differing occurring between the scholars of Jordan and the scholars of the kingdom? I said to him, brother, you should fear Allah. The scholars of Jordan aren't described as being scholars. However, they're only described as being students of knowledge. As for the scholars of the kingdom, from the likes of Sheikh Rabir and Sheikh Najmi and Sheikh Zayd and other than them are described as being as scholars due to their age, knowledge, and them being firmly grounded in it. As for you, to come with students of knowledge and say that they are scholars and compare between them, this is oppression. Let alone that these individuals fell into matters that oppose the Salafi manhaj. Even if they were major scholars, they're not considered in front of these scholars to be scholars. So you have to be aware of this.
القاعدة التي تليها العلماء طبقات ومنازل ودرجات. ما معنى هذه القاعدة؟ من العلماء من هو متفرغ للفقه والحديث مع سلفيته، ومن العلماء من هو متفرغ للرد على أهل البدع والأهواء، ومن العلماء من هو مشتغل بمثلا النحو والمواريث وجوانب أخرى. طيب، فينبغي معرفة العلماء وطبقاتهم. ما الذي نستفيده من هذا؟ الذي نستفيده من هذا أنك لا تأتي وتعارض بين قول عالم متخصص في الجرح والتعديل والرد على أهل الباطل، ها؟ لا تأتي ترد قول هذا العالم بسكوت العلماء الآخرين. يا أخي الشيخ بن باز ما تكلم فيه، الشيخ الفوزان ما تكلم في فلان، الشيخ عبد العزيز الشيخ ما تكلم في فلان. يا أخي هؤلاء مشايخ سلفيون على العين والرأس، معروفون، ولكن هؤلاء ما تعرضوا لهذه الفتن، وسكوتهم لا يعني إقرار.
The next principle is that the scholars are of different levels, ranks and degrees. What does this principle mean? From the scholars are those who are exclusively occupied with fiqh and hadith, along with him still being Salafi. And from the scholars are those who are exclusively occupied with refuting the people of innovation and desires. And from the scholars are those who busy themselves with the Arabic grammar and laws of inheritance and other things. So it is incumbent that you know the scholars and their levels. What do we benefit from this? The answer is, that which we benefit from this is that you can't come and oppose between the statement of a scholar who specializes in jadwa ta'dil and the refutation of the people of innovation. You can't come and reject this scholar because the other scholars remain quiet, saying, but brother, Sheikh Ibn Baz didn't speak against him. Sheikh Fawzan didn't speak against him. Sheikh Abdul Aziz Ali Sheikh didn't speak against so-and-so. Brother, all of these scholars are Salafis, and no doubt about it, and they're well known. However, these scholars did not turn their attention to this fitna. And just because they're quiet doesn't mean they're in agreement.
وعندنا قاعدة معروفة، لا ينسب لساكت قول. وقاعدة أخرى أن الفرض الكفائي إذا قام به البعض سقط الإثم عن الباقين. فالعلماء الذين ردوا على أهل الباطل كفوا العلماء الآخرين، وهذا ينبني على قاعدة أخرى يجب أن تعلم وأن يعني يتذكرها السلفيون، وهي أن بيان عالم واحد لجرح شخص يكفي، ما هو شرط اثنان أو ثلاثة والعلماء كلهم يجرحون، إذا كان بيانه بحق يكفي ولو سكت الباقون. واضح؟ أنت الآن تقول يا أخي الشيخ الفلاني ما تكلم والشيخ الفلاني ما تكلم، كأنك تقول أن جرح الشخص لابد فيه من تكلم جماعة من العلماء، وهذا باطل من القول، هذا باطل من القول ومنهج خلفي ما هو سلفي. واضح؟ فيكفي في رد الباطل من عالم واحد.
Also, we have a well-known principle. You cannot attribute something to someone who has not spoken. And another principle, and it is that فرض الكفاية is something that which if people undertake that matter, the sin falls off the rest of the people. So the scholars who have refuted the people of falsehood have sufficed the other scholars from doing so. And this is based on another principle, and the Salafis should remember it, which is that if one scholar clarifies the mistakes of an individual, this is sufficient. It is not a condition that two or three or all the scholars refute. If his refutation is in truth, this is sufficient, even if all the other scholars remain quiet. But you now say, but brother, such and such scholar hasn't said anything, and so and so hasn't said anything. This is just if you are saying that there is a need of a group of scholars in order to refute someone, and this statement is false. And this is a Khalafi manhaj, not a Salafi manhaj. So this is one scenario, that one specialized scholar refutes and the rest remains quiet.
هذه صورة أن يرد عالم متخصص ويسكت الآخرون. الصورة الثانية أن يجرح شخص متخصص مطلع ويزكي شخص غير متخصص في الجرح أو ما اطلع على الجرح. فهنا لا تعارض هذا بهذا، لا تعارض هذا بهذا، إذا كان تعديل هذا العالم دون اطلاع على جرح العالم الآخر، فهنا ما يتعارضان، لأن من زكى اطلع على أمور تعدل، ومن جرح اطلع على أمور تجرح. فلا تجي تقول والله أنا مع الشيخ الفلاني الذي زكى فلان، ومن مع الشيخ الفلاني مثل الشيخ ربيع، لأنه هذا زكاه وهذا لم يزكه وهذا جرحه، فأنا مع الشيخ الثاني. لا، يجب أن تعلم طبقات العلماء، فهذا متخصص وهذا معروف عند العامة اللي ما هم طلاب علم. فلو جاء طبيب متخصص في جراحة القلب وتكلم على علاج معين، وجاء طبيب آخر عام فتكلم على علاج القلب بعلاج آخر، العامة اللي ما عندهم علم ولا سلفية كقواعد، إيش يقولون؟ كلام الطبيب المتخصص مقدم. دعنا من العامة، بل هذا قول العلماء، قاعدة عندهم أن المتخصص قوله مرجوع إليه ويتحاكم إليه، خاصة عند الاختلاف، خاصة عند الاختلاف. واضح؟
The second scenario is that a specialized learned scholar refutes and criticizes. However, another scholar not specialized in criticism praises that person, or they haven't heard the refutation. Here, these two are not opposed or contradicted. If this scholar's praise occurs without knowing of the criticism of the other scholar, here there is no contradiction, because the one who praised did it because of what he knows from praiseworthy matters, and the one who criticized did that because of what he knows from blameworthy matters. So don't then come and say, I'm with such and such sheikh who praised such and such, and I'm not with such and such sheikh like Sheikh Rabir, because this one praised him and this one criticized him, so I'm with the other sheikh. No, it is incumbent that you know the levels of the scholars, because this one is specialized in that field and the other is known amongst the common folk who are not students of knowledge. So if a doctor came who specialized in heart surgery and spoke about a particular cure. And then another Dr. Kane, who was a general practitioner and spoke about curing the heart through another way. The common folk, even the common folk, who do not have any knowledge or any Salafia as far as knowing its principles, what would they say? The speech of the doctor who specializes in that will be given precedence. Matter of fact, let's leave the common folk. This is the statement of the scholars. They have a principle, which is that one who is specialized in a particular field, his statement is returned to and taken, especially when differing occurs.
الحالة الثالثة أن يجرح العالم ويعدي العالم آخر ويقول جرح العالم الآخر غير معتبر. يقول نعم أعلم أن فلان جرحه لكن فلان سني. هنا يسمى تعارض الجرح والتعديل. طيب، والصورة الثانية داخلة فيه لكن هذه أخص. خلاص، هنا يسمى تعارض الجرح والتعديل. طيب ما المنهج السلفي في هذا؟ المنهج السلفي في هذا أننا إذا ننظر إذا كان الجرح مفسرا جارحا مثله فإننا نأخذه وجوبا ونرجع إليه وجوبا ونحكمه وجوبا. طيب العالم اللي عدله أخطأ لا يقدح فيه لكن اجتهد فأخطأ. طبعا العالم عدله لا عن هوى، هنا الكلام واضح. فمثلا لو جانا على سبيل المثال الشيخ عبد المحسن العباد، زكى رجل وجرحه مثلا الشيخ النجمي أو الشيخ ربيع، والشيخ العباد يقول هو سني ولو جرحه فلان. ننظر بين القولين، أين الدليل الحق؟ أين القول الحق ونتبعه؟ طيب هل يجرح بالشيخ العباد؟ لا، الشيخ العباد عالم سلفي معتبر. طيب كيف الحلبي لما زكى المأربي والشيخ ربيع جرحه طعنتم في الحلبي؟ فرق. الشيخ العباد يوم زكى الحلبي، يوم زكى مثلا المغراوي والحلبي زكاه، ها الشيخ العباد يوم زكاه زكاه على أنه تبين له باجتهاده أنه على حق لا هوى، فلم يظهر له الباطل الذي عند المغراوي. الحلبي يعلم تكفير المغراوي ويعلم بواطل المغراوي ويشارك المغراوي ويقول أنا أعلم الناس بهم، إذن قامت عليه الحجة والحق وضح له، لكنه مصر على الباطل.
The third scenario, that a scholar criticizes and another praises and says the statement of the one who criticizes is not considered. He says, yes, I know that so-and-so criticized him, however, this person is a person of sunnah. This is what is known as التعارض بين الجرح والتعديل, confliction between جرح and تعديل. And the second scenario includes this, however, this is more specific. This is called التعارض بين الجرح والتعديل, confliction between جرح and تعديل. What is the manhaj of the Salaf concerning this? The manhaj of the Salaf in this is that we look, is that we look. The manhaj of the Salaf in this is that we look. If the criticism is a detailed criticism, it is obligatory upon us that we take the statement, and obligatory that we return to it and make it a judge in our affair. Also, the scholar who praised him made a mistake. He is not spoken ill of, but he made ijtihad and was mistaken, because, of course, this scholar didn't praise him out of vain desires. There is some speech, for example, and Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad came along and praised the person, and Sheikh al-Najmi or Sheikh al-Rabi' criticized him. And Sheikh al-Abbad said, he is a person of sunnah, even if so-and-so criticized him. We look to the two statements. Where's the true proofs? Where's the true statement? And then we follow it. Then is Sheikh al-Abbad criticized? No. Sheikh al-Abbad is an acknowledged Salafi scholar. It might be then said, okay, how was it when Halabi praised Ma'dabi and Sheikh al-Rabi' refuted him, Halabi was spoken against? There is a difference. One day Sheikh al-Abbad praised al-Maghrawi and so did Halabi. Sheikh al-Abbad one day praised him based on what has become clear to him through his own ijtihad, and that he is on the truth and not upon desires. So the falsehood that al-Maghrawi had did not become apparent to Sheikh al-Abbad. However, Halabi knows that al-Maghrawi makes takfir and knows the inner things that al-Maghrawi holds, and he participates with Al-Maghrawi, and he says, I am the most knowledgeable of people concerning him. Therefore, the proof has been established against him, and the truth has become plain and clear to him. However, he is persistent upon falsehood.
ولذلك هذا منبني على قاعدة أخرى وهي أن من وهي التفريق بين من وقع في الباطل خطأ وبين من وقع في الباطل متعمدا فالذي وقع في الباطل خطأ لا يجرح يبين له ويصبر عليه والذي وقع في الباطل متعمدا مصرا بعد البيان يجرح ولا كرامة واضح؟ فهنا نقدم الجرح هذا ينبني على قاعدة وهي ينبغي التنبه لها مع ما سبق لا يجوز ولا يصح على منهج السلف أن لا يصح ولا يجوز على منهج السلف الاستدلال أو جعل الخلاف بين العلماء في تجريح شخص وتوثيقه عذرا لاتباع الباطل لمن تبين له الحق أعيد لا يصح أن يجعل خلاف العلماء في جرح شخص أو في جرح شخص وتوثيقه عذرا في اتباع الباطل لمن تبين له الحق وتطبيق هذه القاعدة أننا نجد بعض السلفيين من الشباب يتبعون المأربي ويعني يتبعون من يوثقه تجي تقول له يا أخي اتق الله المأربي بدعه العلماء يقول لك بس الشيخ الفلاني قال سني سلفي يا أخي المأربي يقول كذا وكذا وكذا هذا باطل ولهم ما هو باطل يقول لك باطل المأربي أقيمت عليه الحجة ورد عليه العلماء ولا ما رد يقول لك رد يقول إذن يجب عليك أن تتركه يقول لك لا أنا أتبع العالم الفلاني الذي زكاه هذا عذري لا ما دمت علمت الحق من الباطل فلا يجوز لك جعل خلاف العلماء فيه حجة لك وعذرا في اتباع الباطل فأنت آثم إن اتبعت الباطل مع العلم واضح؟ واضح الآن هذه القاعدة وهي مهمة وكثير ما يستدل بها الشباب السلفيون يجيهم واحد يتصدر يجي واحد يتصدر يقول فيأتون إليه يسألونه يقولون فلان بدعه فلان وزكاه فلان يقول خلاص مدام أنت اتبعت فلان هذا عذرك شوف كيف قاعد لهم مع أنه المنهج السلفي لا هل ظهر لك الحق هل علمت الحق مع من هل طلبت الحق هل رجعت العلماء المختصين هل جرح من جرح مفسرا ما هو بالإجمال
because of that this is based on another principle and it is to differentiate between the one who falls into falsehood by mistake and the one who falls into falsehood intentionally. So the one who falls into falsehood by mistake is not criticized. Rather, it is clarified to him and he's remained patient upon. But the one who falls into falsehood intentionally and persists after it is made clear, he is criticized without making any excuses for him. So here the criticism takes precedence. This is based on a principle which is incumbent to take note of along with what has preceded, and that is, it is not correct and not permissible in the Salafi manhaj to make the differing of the scholars in praising and criticism an excuse to follow falsehood for the one whom the truth has become clear to. And the application of this principle is that we find some of the Salafi youth follow Ma'ribi and following those who praise him. You then come and say to him, Brother, fear Allah. Ma'ribi was declared to be an innovator by the scholars. He then says, However, Sheikh so-and-so said he is a person of Sunnah and Salafi. Then you say, Brother, Ma'ribi says such and such. Is this falsehood or not? He says, That's falsehood. Then you say to him, Were the proofs established against him or not? Then you say to him, Were the proofs established against Ma'ribi and the scholars refuted him? Is this not correct? He'll then say, Yes, they refuted him. Then you say to him, It is upon you to leave him. He says, No. I'm following such and such scholar who praised him. This is my excuse. No. So long as you know the truth from falsehood, it is not permissible for you to make the differing of the scholars as your proof, an excuse for you to follow falsehood. For verily, you are sinning if you follow falsehood while knowing. Is this principle clear now? And it is important, and many times it is used by the Salafi youth. One comes to them putting himself forth, so they come to him and ask him, so-and-so declared so-and-so an innovator, and so-and-so praised him. So the person says, so long as you follow so-and-so, this is your excuse. You see how he whispers to them? However, with the Salafi manhaj, no. Did the truth become clear to you? Did you know who the truth was with? Did you search for the truth? Did you return to the scholars who specialize in that area? Did the one who criticized do it with details? The affair doesn't relate to that which is general.
ولذلك من قواعد أهل الباطل كما ذكرها قال التلبيس بالعبارات المجملة هذه من قواعد أهل الباطل وينبغي التنبه لها بالإجمال والإطلاق يمرر عليك الباطل واضح؟ فهذه قاعدة يجب على الشباب السلفي أن يتنبهوا لها وأن يكونوا متيقظين حتى لا يخالفوا المنهج السلفي الذي يسيرون عليه.
Due to this, from the principles of the people of falsehood, just as he mentioned, confusing the people by making general statements. This is from the principles of the people of falsehood, so you have to be aware of them. By making general and unrestricted statements, they pass falsehood by you. So it is incumbent for the Salafi youth to pay attention to this principle and to be aware so they do not oppose the Salafi manhaj that they are treading upon.
آخر قضية هي الاهتمام بالعلم والتعلم والرجوع للعلماء ولا يتصدر طالب العلم المبتدئ أو الذي لم يتأهل للجرح والتعديل لا يتصدر في مسائل الجرح والتعديل ولا يبدع ولا يضلل هذا أمر للعلماء ولمن تأهل من طلاب العلم للعلماء ولمن تأهل من طلاب العلم طيب أنا ما موقفي أسكت ما أجرح المأربي ما أجرح فلان نقول فرق إن جرح العلماء أحدا فاجرحه ناقلا لكلامهم هذا المأربي طعن فيه الشيخ زيد المدخلي والشيخ النجمي والشيخ ربيع والشيخ عبد الله البخاري والشيخ محمد بن هادي أنقل لكن لا تأخذ الجادل وأنت طالب علم بين له كلام العلماء إن لم يقبل كلام العلماء فلن يقبل كلامك والخطورة هنا أنك طالب علم قد ما تكون عندك الحجج وخصمك يأتيك بحجج فيلبس عليك فين العدل فين الإنصاف فين التقوى فين الخوف من الله يزلزلك يزلزلك ويزلزل الثوابت اللي عندك يعني فتحار واضح؟ لا تخوض في الجدال وهذا موطن تحذير العلماء للشباب السلفيين من الكلام في الجرح والتعديل لا أنهم يحذرون الشباب من نقل كلام العلماء في المجرحين بعضهم ينكر على الشباب السلفيين نقلهم لكلام الشيخ ربيع أو الشيخ النجمي أو فلان أو فلان في المأربي وفي الحلبي وفلان 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 يقول يا أخي علماء السلفيون حذروا من هذا لا ما حذروا من نقل الحق وما حذروا من التحذير من الباطل ولكن حذروك يا طالب العلم المبتدئ ومن لم تتأهل أن تخوض في الجرح والتعديل قبل تأهلك وأن تتقدم بين يدي العلماء واضح؟ والفرق بين الاثنين أمر مهم وبهذا القدر أكتفي في هذه الكلمة
The last issue is giving importance to knowledge learning and returning to the scholars and the beginner and that the beginner student of knowledge and the one who is not qualified does not put himself forth to make jarh wa ta'deel he shouldn't put himself forth in the matters of jarh wa ta'deel and shouldn't declare people innovators or to be misguided individuals This matter is for the scholars and those students of knowledge who are qualified. Okay, what is my position then? Do I remain quiet? Do I remain silent about Ma'ribi? Do I remain silent about so-and-so? We say, there is a difference. If the scholars criticize someone and you criticize them by quoting their statements, For example, Ma'nabi was criticized by Sheikh Zayd al-Madkhali, and Sheikh al-Najmi, and Sheikh Rabi', and Sheikh Abdullah al-Bukhari, and Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi. Quote their statements, but do not start to debate while you're just a student of knowledge. Clarify to them the statements of the scholars. If they don't accept the statements of the scholars, they won't accept your statement. And that which is dangerous here is that you're a student of knowledge, and you may not have all the proofs and evidences, and your opponent comes with proofs and confuses you. Where's the justice? Where's the fairness? Where's the piety? Where's the fear of Allah? They will cause you to slip in error and cause the information that you have to slip, and then you become confused. No, do not enter into debating. And this is the reason why the scholars warn the Salafi youth from speaking about Jahl wa Ta'dil. It is not that they're warning the youth from relaying the statements of the scholars regarding criticized individuals. Some people reprimand the Salafi youth due to them relaying the statements of Sheikh Rabi' and Sheikh al-Najmi or so-and-so concerning Ma'dabi and Halabi and this one and that one. And they say, brother, the Salafi scholars warned from this. No, they didn't warn from conveying the truth, and they didn't warn from warning against falsehood. However, they warn you, O beginner seeker of knowledge, and the one who isn't qualified to enter into Jahl wa Ta'dil before you are qualified. And they also warn that you precede the scholars in these affairs, and the differences between these two are important. And with this, I'll end this talk. May Allah send peace and salutations on our Prophet Muhammad, his family, and all of his companions.
For more authentic information about Islam, please visit us at www.sunnahpublishing.net. That is www.sunnahpublishing.net. Or email us at admin@sunnahpublishing.net.